Just outstanding from pianist Ingrid Fleeter. You heard Chopin's Waltz in A Flat, Opus 42. And welcome to The Oasis here on a Tuesday afternoon. It's Mark Wigmore with you. Day 6 of the Toronto International Film Festival. We are at the midway point. Let's celebrate the music of the movies with our look today at the arts. The music of multiple award nominee and multi-instrumentalist Tin Sohaley. He's left his mark on the international music and film scene, having composed and produced film scores for more than 150 productions worldwide and also co-composing under the alias Great Music. Besides scoring for film, Sohaley has toured extensively as a musician and composed for theater and dance. He's the master of various string instruments such as the sitar, the oud, and the mandolin. Tin Sohaley's latest film scores include the music for the drama Wonderful Copenhagen, the acclaimed documentary We Could Be Heroes, which made a big splash at Hot Docs here in Toronto last year, and a film that's part of the Toronto International Film Festival lineup, Made in Bangladesh. I saw it a couple days ago, just a wonderful film with a wonderful score. I was first introduced to the sounds of Tin Sohaley in the incredible story told in the documentary The Ambassador.
Conversation that we're about to have never happened.
Welcome to the Central African Republic, the magnet for men with hidden agendas. I am a respectable Danish journalist.
That film, The Ambassador, directed by Mads Brugger and nominated for the Grand Jury Prize at Sundance 2012. And it's my pleasure to welcome Tin Sohaley to the New Classical FM. Welcome.
Thank you. How are you?
Very good. So wonderful to have you here. I have not found an excuse to talk about The Ambassador on this program before, and I'm so glad that I did. That has, in my mind, one of the great documentaries of the last 20 years.
It is quite, and it was quite controversial.
It was.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to do.
For people who don't know, he pretended that he was...
He was an official.
Official businessman.
Yeah.
Went into Africa and... had a cover company of, I don't want to give too much away, but it's an older film at this point. So explosive, so many incredible ideas, and just to think of you being part of that process.
It was a lot of fun. Actually, I got involved with Mass and all that. A film he did prior to that, that I was supposed to do with my then co-composer.
Okay.
And we didn't get that because of the politics of financial thing. You know, sometimes they finance the films outside of the country and they need other composers to do that. And then we got involved in the film, and it was a lot of fun to do because it is a very unusual type of film.
Yeah. It is. I mean, he's clearly European, but he's in Africa, and yeah. So you've got to start thinking about the suspense of it, but also where you are culturally, and it's a lot to think about for a musician.
You know, the interesting thing about that film is that all along in the movie, you really don't know whether he's serious or he's not serious.
Well, right.
And when is he
That's
serious?
That's the entire conceit of the film, yeah.
That's the thing. And it is... That was a lovely thing for a composer, you know, to sit down and then try to decode that. And we didn't really communicate that much with him about it.
How is Toronto treating you? I know this is a couple times for you.
Lovely. I was here last year at the Hot Docs in 18, and it was my first time. And it was really lovely to see the city. And now I'm living in the Kensington, having a lot of beers and hanging out with film people.
I know.
I'm not used to the bohemian
crowd.
It is.
Yeah. It's about perfect.
Yeah.
Great, right? We have these big film festivals here. I think Hot Docs especially has to be.
Yeah. You know, once I went out on my own as an artist, and, you know, it was quite interesting because the project that I got, you know, I got involved in, I really didn't know what type of life they had, other than that I really liked doing them. And had this intuitive feeling that this is going to go somewhere. And then, like, now, I mean, we did Made in Bangladesh that we are here for back in the start of the year. I finished it actually in December 18. And I forgot all about it. And then they called me and said, we're going to TIFF. So, okay. So you kind of forget and you're somewhere else. And then they call you, like, now it's alive.
Have to revisit this project.
Yeah.
So born in Iran.
Yeah.
and then Denmark. Tell me about that's a long story, I'm sure, but yeah. But tell me about that change and, yeah. and what that's meant to your musical.
Well, I come to Denmark when I was 11, back in 84.
Right.
And
tricky times in the region.
Very much. It was due to the revolution.
Of course.
And my mother had a hard time there.
You aren't the first artist I've spoken to from that region.
Really?
Who, you know, had to move.
Yeah, I could imagine. Yeah, everybody has that past in case they're my age.
Yeah.
Well, then we came to Denmark after a couple of years, like fleeing the country because due to my mother's background, mm-hmm. basically. And my mother always, you know, we used to have a rehearsal room in my parents' bedroom. So this is the type of parents I had. They were like, you want to play music? Go. And so, you know, we were really privileged as kids to be able to you know, let off some steam, just mm-hmm. play music.
Yeah.
And at some point it just got serious. And I told my mom when I was 14, I said, I'm going to start writing songs. I want to do music. And she's like, yeah, go. That's it, basically. So I've been doing this since then. And later when I was 21.
What gave you the confidence to feel like, I know I can do this?
I think I was quite introvert to start with. But, you know, seeing what I saw by the age of 11, right. I'd seen a lot of stuff back then.
Uh-huh.
And it just, you know, it was really good for my soul. I kind of found like this little church in the music where it was my own little thing. I could close down everything and I could start rehearsing. I would rehearse like crazy, like 10 hours a day sometimes.
Specifically what you do, you take, you know, I guess what we would call exotic
yeah.
instruments
yeah.
and learning to use these sounds with typical Western European orchestral repertoire. I yeah. mean, has that been the goal from day one to sort of say, okay, how can I take these instruments I've learned yeah. and put them into this format?
You know, my background is actually rock. I was with the Swedish band back in the days and
yeah.
played, I mean, all the technical stuff you do on the guitar.
Sure.
And at some point, somebody asked me, like, do you have any ethnical background? You know, obviously they could see it on me because I'm, you know, I have a dark feature.
Yeah, yeah.
But I said, no, what do you mean? Is that we can definitely hear there are certain things in your way of playing. I was like, that's odd. And somebody told me, like, you should look into it, you know, it could be nice. So I started, like, learning all these instruments because my dad was a big fan of string instruments. And I found myself like being very, you know, very drawn to string instruments.
So that includes the sitar?
The sitar.
The oud?
The oud.
Right.
Yeah, the ronroco, you know. Like
we both play mandolin. I play mandolin.
Yes, mandolin is lovely.
It
yeah,
is.
You know,
important.
It is.
To definitely. Have in the back pocket.
Definitely, yeah. So through the years, I've had it, made it into a little sport, basically. I buy one or two different string instruments that I don't know, and I learn them every year. So I have like a huge arsenal of a lot of different variety of instruments at home.
It's fascinating. I was just watching the David Foster documentary that's here at TIFF, and he talked about that too, that he learned almost every instrument that he could.
Yeah.
And so when it did come to arranging and so yeah. on, yeah. it was just a huge advantage for him.
It is.
Have all these, know what yeah. the sound range, what
yeah.
what all these instruments can do within that format.
Very much. And it gives you the creative freedom because sometimes if I have to go and do something with the orchestras, then you have to redo some stuff and go through stuff. But, you know, in some cases, you can just, you know, put on the mic and just start playing something else because, you know, you have been creating this and just play it the other way, you know, do something else with it. So it gives me the freedom to change and you know, be very flexible while composing, basically.
Let's talk about Made in Bangladesh. I just saw it, so I'm feeling pretty raw with
yeah.
it right now.
Yeah.
It affected me greatly. It's everything I hoped it would be, inspiring, heart-wrenching at yeah. times, and enlightening, though, empathetic
yeah.
to the situation. This is the story of women in the garment industry in Bangladesh, and it's tough, but this is a beautiful and very empowering story. I walked out feeling pretty good.
It is. Yeah. Somebody, actually last night when we had the premiere, somebody told me that they were really happy to see this film, especially happy because it wasn't really pointing fingers that who's doing the right and wrong.
Right.
It's up to the audience to make up their own mind.
I mean, it's something we hear about in the news all the time, but actually to be able to put a face
yeah.
to these women, to see the struggle
yeah.
that they're going through, to yeah. see the oppression, not just from their employers, but yeah. from society in general.
Yeah.
When you were handed this film, what was the direction they gave you?
Well, I saw the rough cuts of the movie,
uh-huh.
and it's always difficult, you know, when you see some movies you just know intuitively, and some movies you really have to work for it, so to speak. And I saw, because Robayat Hossain, who's the director of the movie, she has this amazing way of shooting pictures that it was just, it was, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it because they are so epic, some of these pictures, and so colorful.
Yeah.
Yet you can definitely, I can almost smell the you know, smell.
Absolutely. It's so intimate, and I felt like I was practically there.
That's it.
At the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first thing, I mean, it was in the works a year before I came into this thing. And then I met a friend on the street. He said, I just heard your name. They were talking about getting you in. I said, oh, interesting. And then all of a sudden I get this film sent to me out of nowhere. And I watched it and I was supposed to call her. So I called her right away and said, I'm going to send you two pieces of music. Listen to that. So I sent her those two pieces and she said, yes. She said, this is it. We got it. And it just, I just felt very much in sync with the pictures, with the scenario. And it's, my main goal was what I understood from the pictures that she has been, you know, on what I saw on the screen, was that I really didn't want it to be ethnical.
Right.
I did want it to have a certain scent of ethnicity because we are in, geographically, we are in an environment that has that, mm-hmm. very colorful and all that. But I really wanted to have, to have a personality, you know, so we could feel the character underneath and all that. And it was really fun.
Tin Soheili, just a pleasure. Congrats on this film.
Thank you.
I know you got 100 other projects probably on the go.
It's coming up, yeah.
Enjoy Toronto while you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Wonderful to have you here. The final screening is this Saturday at Scotiabank Theatre, 9:45 a.m. Get up early. I have been. TIFF.net for details. And also you can check out Tin's website, tinsoheili.com. Let's listen. Music from the talented composer Tin Soheili, and don't forget, Made in Bangladesh screens on Saturday morning at the Scotiabank Theatre. You can find all the details, of course, at tiff.net as the festival continues. And thank you so much to Tin for sharing today all the way from Denmark. Wonderful to have him here. Coming up, we've got Haydn music. It is 20 degrees in Toronto and Collingwood, 18 in Coburg. Let's have a look at what's happening on the roads right after this.